Now, the European Commission, the EU, has established harmonised rules to protect consumers against potential health risks and maintain a list of substances which are known or suspected to have adverse effects on health and the use of which is therefore controlled. However, the sector involved here are health stores or vitamin supplements, which has been a growing business over the last number of years, believes that the rules are excessive and there's been a lack of clarity and a lack of transparency about how they have been put together. Save Our Supplements is a group that's been put together to try and campaign on this issue. It's by Health Stores Ireland, many of whom are right across the county here in Kerry. Their spokesperson is Hannah Dare of the Save Our Supplements campaign, and she owns and runs Organico Health Food Store in Bantry. I spoke to her about this, about what they're looking for the government and our MEPs to do to fight back against it. And I first of all asked her, what changes will be coming in? A massive reduction is what feared in the level of vitamins that's allowed to be sold in supplements, the impact that will have on their business and also on their customers.
Yes, we are very concerned, mainly because we don't feel that Irish consumers or any consumers have had a voice in the discussions around these proposed EU harmonisation regulations. So the EU... this legislation's actually been in progress for about 24 years. I think it's 2002 it first started. And the idea is to have exactly the same levels of vitamins, maximum levels of vitamins and minerals across all the EU countries. And of course, since 2002, a number of countries have joined the EU. And we know that, you know, from... you know, the requirements of, say, vitamin D, if you take vitamin D3, the requirements between Spain and Latvia and Ireland are all very different. So, you know, we need a much higher level of vitamin D3 to stay, to stay healthy in our climate.
Because of lack of sunshine versus obviously what happens in Spain.
Exactly, exactly. So our concern is that consumers are going to be, so we are all, I mean, we're all consumers in this situation, that we're going to be affected disproportionately by these regulations because the regulations are not being proposed by the Irish, but by the Irish kind of, contingent. They're being proposed by countries that have a much lower level of vitamins and minerals for sale in their country as a normal thing. So we have come, you know, we've become used to quite high levels in Ireland. We'd be the same as England. We'd be quite close to America. So it's a little bit like we take our tea very similarly to England. It's very different. And, you know, if you go and you drink tea in Germany, it's a very different thing. So we're arguing that harmonization, where it might sound benign, it might sound, you know, harmless, our feeling is that harmonisation won't be good for Irish consumers in this situation.
Are they trying to achieve the same level of whatever the vitamin and mineral is in a supplement right across the European Union? That if you buy exactly a vitamin D3 supplement in Latvia or Lithuania or France or Germany, it'll be the same as you get in Ireland. Is that what they're trying to do?
The idea is that the maximum permitted level would be the same. So you could still buy different levels depending on whether you're buying something for a child or an adult. They would be different. So, but the maximum level would be the same. So at the moment, we can sell up to 4,000 IUs of vitamin D3. A lot of people would take 3,000 IUs a day. If you go to your doctor, you could be prescribed 10,000 and you might take a weekly dose of 10,000. A lot of people, you know, so, and then for children, it might be around 800. What we have been told, and this part of my issue with this legislation is that they actually haven't told us what the levels are being proposed. And so they've passed the legislation. They're about to have the public consultation, but nobody in the industries and no consumer rights advocates, none of us know what the levels are being are set at. So we're operating completely blind. But we had a leaked document late last year, which showed that the levels they were discussing at the time were substantially lower than what we have in Ireland at the moment. So particularly for D3, that would be it would be about a third lower than what we currently are selling, or even half, actually, depending on whether, you know, depending on what you know, who you are and what you're buying, it might be up to half what you're used to taking every day.
OK, now this area, Hannah, it does need regulation.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, there are, and there's been a study done in the UK in particular, both on the high street, but particularly online, that yes. there are supplements being sold that are way above the safe recommended limits. Some retailers, such as Amazon, had, you know, selling things with doses of 12.5 times more than the recommended maximum safe daily limit. Is that part of the attempt here the EU is trying to control, that there's stuff being sold online that just is way too strong or totally inappropriate for some people?
So I suppose, I mean, in Ireland, I don't know about England, obviously, because it's a slightly different situation there now. But in Ireland, we are controlled by the FSAI. So we have maximum limits set for everything that are appropriate to our needs in Ireland. And for all retailers operating within Ireland, those are very clearly focused, you know, followed. So within our Health Stores Ireland Association, you know, we make sure all our members are well aware of what's legal to be sold in Ireland and what isn't, because we have quite a lot of products that are actually have been removed from our shelves over the years. People will know about St. John's Wort, about Ginkgo. We can't sell melatonin, which is freely for sale in a lot of EU countries. So there's more. So, you know, we follow the regulations and we are regulated. That's very important to say. One thing that we're concerned about, if you bring in further reductions to what we are allowed to sell, which will kind of weaken what we're allowed to offer, is that people will actually be pushed more towards buying from outside of Europe, which is completely unregulated. And we have no idea what ingredients, what extra ingredients are being used, what quality is being used. You know, this could push people to totally unregulated channels. And that's quite a big concern.
Okay. Do you feel you have a chance to have that say? No, there's a public consultation period or a number of consultation periods that will come up. But you mentioned the legislation has been passed. So is it your concern, your group's concern, that what the European Union are doing now over the next maybe 18 months, I think is a timeline here before this comes in, that it's only tweaking what's already been agreed?
Exactly. We really strongly feel that this is not a democratic process. We have not been consulted as consumers, as retailers. So they talk about stakeholders in this kind of a situation. And stakeholders would be you and me, right up to kind of companies, you know, manufacturing these products. Basically, nobody has been consulted. So, you know, the EU definitely has a duty of care. They have a duty of care to protect consumers, and they have a duty of care to make sure that regulations don't overly affect businesses where there isn't a safety concern. So our argument here is there is not a safety concern. We have not seen adverse effects from the vitamins, the minerals that we're selling. You know, when you look around, you could say, well, you know, people are selling alcohol, people are selling tobacco products, you know, they have labels on them. And then we're looking at a possibility where they're going to come and say, you can't sell 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. And we're thinking this is disproportionate and it's not logical.
Would it be your argument, Hannah, just on that element of what's safe and what's not safe? And again, there are examples in other areas like zinc was for sale online in some of the well-known, you know, multiple chains that are also on the high street. That was, you know, double the safe daily limit. And that can lead to fatigue, anemia, as well as impaired immune function. Would it be your argument that, number one, that's more online than on the high street? And number two, is there an element here of people needing to know themselves what's safe and what's not? What's the recommended limit? Is that written on the bottle? And do they need to be knowing, well, okay, I'm not going to take this because this is actually double what I need? Or where do you see that coming down? Because I think that's what the EU are trying to target here.
I mean, so it gets quite complicated because there's a difference between recommended daily limits and maximum limits. There's a very big difference. And for example, within Ireland, our recommended daily limits haven't been reviewed for a very long time. I haven't got the time frame off the top of my head, but it hasn't been reviewed or changed for a very long time. And yet our diets, as we know, have changed hugely. I mean, as a nation, we eat 50% ultra-processed food now, which obviously has a lot less vitamins and minerals in it than if we were eating, you know, actual meat and veg, right? So our intake from our diet has dropped off hugely. So when you talk about the RDA, which is the recommended daily allowance, that isn't actually always very relevant for people. They can't necessarily maintain their health. They might avoid rickets, you know, which is the absolute minimum, bare minimum that we would expect these days. But they're not necessarily going to maintain their health by following RDAs. So a lot of our customers, and myself included, I would take higher than the RDA of a lot of nutrients. That's very different to the maximum permitted levels. So the maximum permitted levels are something that, you know, isn't broken within Ireland. And quite a lot of the time, if you go to a nutritional, like, so, you know, you go for professional advice in this area, you go to a nutritionist or even a dietitian, you'd be advised to take more than the RDA. But the maximum permitted level is something that is that's what we're talking about now, do you know? And I don't think that it makes sense. Personally, I don't think it makes sense to set new maximum permitted levels to harmonise that across the whole of the EU without at least consulting the people who are taking the higher levels. Yeah. That's my argument.
Yeah. Okay. Look, this is big business. It's a big market and it's been growing as people are more focused on their health. Lots more people are going to the gym now. They're looking for assistance at their training, all sorts of different things in terms of their health, which you've dealt with for years, no doubt, for people coming through your doors. But the market, you know, roughly globally is about 200 billion euro. It's expected to go to 400 billion euro, 450 maybe, by the mid-2030s. This is a hugely growing area, which I imagine is why the EU are taking a look at it. What impact are these changes based on that leaked document? And I take your point about the lack of information ye have about what's being proposed to be done to magnesium, zinc, vitamin B, vitamin D3, vitamin B6, all of those things. What impact would it have if it goes through as ye fear now on your business, on the health stores that we know in our towns and villages?
It's going to have a significant impact. There's going to be a huge amount of uncertainty. There's going to be a huge amount of products that will be reformulated and will have the levels reduced. You know, and I suppose, like, we have a particular situation in Ireland where we need English language packaging. But we're the only country in Europe needing English language packaging. So at the moment, quite a lot of our products would come from the States or from the UK. We do have some Irish, very, very good Irish manufacturers as well. But quite a lot of products would come in from the States and the UK. And so if we were the only country within Europe needing certain levels to be followed and needing English language packaging, that's going to severely restrict the amount of products that we have available that we're able to offer to our customers. Because you can imagine we're a very small market. So, you know, we're what are we, the size of Manchester, you know? Yeah. So we actually have a very, you know, our consumer base is very, very highly educated here in terms of health, as you say. You know, there's people who are really interested in maintaining and looking after their health and preventing serious disease. And, you know, and one of the ways they do that is through looking at nutrition. I mean, there's loads of other ways. And when you talk about the health and wellness market, that covers a lot more than vitamins and minerals. Obviously, there's a huge amount. You know, most of the money isn't in vitamins and minerals, I have to say. This isn't a very highly profitable area, but it's an area that we feel very passionately about because, you know, we can see the effects, you know, of people like people coming in, and when you change their, you know, even just giving them a multivitamin, we can see the benefits to that. So I suppose a lot of this just is around, so there's going to be a lot of, like, there'll be a 18-month period where people will have a chance to, you know, reformulate their products, but we will just lose a lot of products, which just means consumer choice is lost.
Yeah. Okay. And that's your concern, obviously, for the impact on your business and the choice for people.
It's a big concern. Yeah. It's a big concern. Yeah. I mean, and you know, there'll be financial impacts. Obviously, there'll be financial impacts on all the manufacturers within Ireland. There'll be financial impacts on the suppliers within Ireland and on the health food shops and on pharmacies. So, you know, it'll be widespread. And we've just had, you know, we obviously had the big shock of Brexit that caused a huge massive issue within our industry, because, you know, we're not the main suppliers of any certain products. So, like, you know, we were quite down the line when it came to kind of priorities for UK exporters. And there's still some products that we can't get because of Brexit, because the legislation or the requirements are just too complicated. So I'd be afraid the same thing would happen again here.
Okay. And a Save Our Supplements is the kind of campaign that you're running in relation to make, I suppose, the public aware, first of all, and also the campaign at a political level. Have you had any response from politicians, any MEPs, in relation to your concerns?
We have. We've had response from a number of MEPs and from a number of TDs. At the moment, our main goal is to have a meeting with the Minister for Health and to put our concerns and to, you know, see what is possible within, obviously, where the legislation is at the moment. Yeah. So there are some tweaks that are possible, and there could be some changes that you know would really benefit our consumers if we could get those put through.
There you go. That's Hannah Dare of Organico in Bantry. She's spokesperson for the Save Our Supplements campaign. They're looking to get 50,000 signatures. They have an uplift.ie petition going. There are 14,231 out of 15,000 so far. Looking for people to sign a petition to put pressure on. They're asking people to contact their politicians as well as they continue. And as Hannah said there, they're looking to meet with the Minister for Health. What do you make of that? Lowering the levels, quite possibly, according to this leaked document, lowering it by quite a lot, the level of vitamin B, vitamin D3, vitamin B16, all those vitamin B6, and all those other zinc and magnesium and other things you're able to buy at the moment under this harmonisation rule. Their fear is a lot of it's already been agreed at European Union level, and there's limited room to manoeuvre now and change things. They don't agree on a harmonisation right across the same level, right across the European Union. If you use them, get in touch with us on the programme. Dan Horan of Horan's Health Stores, of course, many of those across the country, a member of that group. He told me he's very concerned about what is coming in from the European Union and would fully support that campaign, as his stores are part of that, a campaign to try and get the government, MEPs, TDs and health agencies to change course on this one. Give us your thoughts.